Blog Talk Radio.
Do I go?
No.
So I make lots of friends,
okay.
And we all smoke some dro.
No.
It's something that I do, to keep the time of flying. And now I've got the money bug that I won't give up trying.
Can't you just be normal and live life in 3D? I tell them I've got bigger plans. You're the pond and I'm the sea.
My dreams keep me alive and flow all through my veins. My body wants to scream from excitement, not the pain.
My heart is right here, I put it all on the line. It makes my body quiver,
quiver
all the way up the spine. DDP has got you flowing on the music stream. Don't lose sight and focus, live it up and live the dream.
It may not seem like much to keep in contact with my homies, but I've got that special touch. Some would say that I'm a hero to keep the love in
peace,
even though the world around you will bring you to your knees.
My heart is right here, I put it all on the line. It makes my body quiver,
quiver
all the way up the spine. DDP has got you flowing on the music stream. Don't lose sight and focus, live it up and live the dream.
3, 2, 1, 0. Take a moment, feel like a hero. Save the world, it's up to you. Please tell me what you're gonna do.
I live the ultimate life. Someone say they would die to get a glimpse of the world where they can see with 3 eyes. So they catch you surprised again. I'm paralyzed from the neuronal sphere, all created by lies.
It's in the method where you can truly realize with all love and learn to possibilitize. Chin up to the world and keep your gaze on the prize. Time is just a character made to disguise. Keeping me restrained by all your changing insides. Holding up some pattern for a thought to arrive. Like a virus, the short and somewhat dignified. Damn, my clock ticks at time 4:35.
Beats run through my brain and got me all hypnotized. I trust to get the picture from the look in your eyes. I hope you rise to the beat and get the vibe of the feeling. These words are simply more than metaphoric healing.
I try to send a message through every word I write. I say to you that it's tonight that this soul will take flight. To you, if it seems this isn't quite to the right, maybe turn around and repel, cause I'm not looking to fight.
No way.
My heart is right here, I put it all on the line. It makes my body quiver all the way up the spine. TDT has got you flowing on the music stream. Don't lose sight and focus, live it up and live the dream.
3, 2, 1, 0. Take a moment, feel like a hero. I don't want to know your name, I just want to bang, bang, bang.
My life is so full, so rich and so plenty. No matter if I'm bumming the streets of the city, my life is docked down to the better tapes. My life is tuned into the radio play. My life is mine to share with you to get me through the day. We'll keep things just right, cause I know tonight will change to yesterday. But before you go, please promise me that you will hear me say, in my memory you will stay.
Well, good Monday morning, everyone, and thank you for coming out to Life is But a Dream with your host, the Dream Teacher. I hope you all had a beautiful sleep last night, as I sure did. I actually went to bed early. Went to bed at, before 11 o'clock. Can you believe that? I'm usually in bed by, like, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 in the morning. But I decided to go to bed way earlier. Not sure why. Maybe because I had the show. I mean, I was still going to stay up and do the show regardless if I slept or not. But that's all right. It worked out for the better. And I was kind of hesitant to wake up this morning. I was like, oh, man, I really got to wake up. Oh, my gosh. I'm like, oh, it's going to be cold outside. Cause I do the show on the porch, and I like to be in the middle of the world, if you will, getting into the hustle and bustle of the Monday morning as everybody's just running around and trying to get to work and go into all the places that they need to go. So I like to sit in the middle of it and enjoy the beginning stages of the world waking up. And not going to lie, I might go back to bed. But what we are here for is to talk about our dreams and dreams that we've had overnight, over this past week, some things that have been maybe confusing us, or things that we need to get a little bit of clarity on. So I will be helping you interpret your dreams, see if there's any kind of secret messages hidden in them, something that maybe you need to know that you that should really be brought to your conscious attention. And we can do that together. So what I am asking you is if you would like to get some clarity on your dreams, you can either post them up in the chat, and we can talk about them there, or you can call in at 646-727-2870. And that is my line. You can come down, and we can talk and converse about your dream and see where they lead you. I also have my cards. As you know, I have a show Thirsty Thursdays on Thursday nights that I do cards and readings for people. And so what I can do is, you know, pull a card for your dream and see where your focus kind of needs to be. We can talk to it, communicate with it intuitively, and figure some things out. So hopefully that will resonate with you. And then you'll get a much better understanding of your own dream. So at the moment, right now, I'm having a little trouble with my switchboard, so calls are going to have to be put on hold for a moment. I'm not sure what's going on. Blog Talk is being very slow this morning. I almost didn't even get to open up the chat and switchboard at the right time, because they have a little intro music. It's all set up. Whew. So if you're in the chat and you wanted to talk about your dream, go ahead and just write it down. If not, I'll be talking about mine. I've had some pretty crazy dreams over this past week. There's a lot of parties in my dreams, lots and lots of parties and meetings of new people. And it was really weird. I swear I've dreamed about this before. I went and hung out with this guy, Tony, and went over to his friend's place. And, you know, I walked in there, and it's a pretty cool place. I really like the look of it. And I sit there, and, you know, we're just having a little conversation. And I just seriously felt like I met them all before. Like, it totally just seems like every single one of them, like, we've met before, we've talked before, we've all communicated. I really, really think it was, like, in my dreams. And that's where I get, like, a lot of these premonitions, so to speak. Like, I get so much from my dreams. My dreams are, at least mine, they're very, I have very psychic dreams. They're very intuitive. They're very strong. And I think that's a good thing. I think that it helps me out in a lot of ways. It helps me kind of get a gist of what's going to happen. It's like I can feel it and I know what's going on. And then, boom, it happens. I'm like, whoa, whoa, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. That totally just happened. Or I mean, it didn't happen just now, but it did happen just now, but I swear it happened before. You know, that kind of state of mind. So I don't always do this, but I've been trying to do it more and more, is writing down more of my dreams. And it's definitely a hard task. It's hard to actually motivate yourself, especially right when you wake up, to be like, Okay, where's the pen? Where's the paper? Okay, let's see. Oh, wait. What happened? Am I using proper English? Am I, what? I'm definitely not using proper English. It's like dream English. And then there's like random scattered words and like just so much random stuff. Goes back and forth and talk about like a subconscious writing experience, right? Oh, and speaking of which, if any of you have read Conversations with God, very good book. I recommend it to anybody that hasn't read it to definitely read it. It is a very informative book, and it's a little combo with God. So in lieu of reading that, I was hanging out with a friend, told her about the book, and she mentioned, she's like, well, why don't you write your own conversation with God? I'm like, you know what? That is an excellent idea. Because, I mean, how the guy started is he is a therapist, and he does like a technique where he writes people letters that he's mad at or upset with, but he never mails them. And he decided to write one to God because he was upset with God. And he never really expected to get a response from him. So I kind of did the same thing. I was getting a little upset, and I myself wrote to God. And interestingly enough, he wrote back. So I definitely want to share that with you, but I think we're going to save it for Thirsty Thursdays. So if you're interested in hearing about my conversation with God, tune in Thursday nights at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll be doing readings as usual, and then do a little conversation piece. And also, if you are an avid listener to the shows of awareness with the Dream Teacher, then maybe you can write your own little conversation with God and bring it on Thursday, and you can share it with everyone else. And it will be a pretty awesome experience to see whose conversations intertwine and what God sounds like to all these different people. I think it would be such an interesting experience. So again, if you listen to the show and all of the Dream Teacher shows, then write your own little conversation with God and see what he has to say for you. I'm pretty sure it would be quite interesting. Still having a little trouble here with the switchboard. Oh, yeah, Mary Kay. I don't know what's going on. It's just like a early morning blog talk kind of slow down here. Seems that not too many shows are on this early, so you got to be lucky to get it all running properly. Okay. Could be my internet connection as well. Let's see what we can do to fix this. So I would like to play a little song for you guys. I like playing music. I feel like it helps bring different people in. It attracts different kind of energies. And when I play different songs, always somebody new pops in. So we're going to see how this goes. I can get this BTR thing to work. Okay. Well, what I'm going to do is, while this is loading, I'm going to pull a card for myself and see kind of where I should focus and where I should be focusing after this long night's slumber and gain a little bit of insight. And I use these cards intuitively, and it's a very rewarding and unique process. And I think it works out. You can ask any questions and you can get any insight. It's really a wonderful tool. Ooh, Mary Kay, you have two repeating dreams. We'll go ahead and share them in the chat if you wish. And we can talk about them. Definitely recurring dreams are things that should be brought into light, into focus. Oh, sorry about that. Into focus. When you have a recurring dream, it is something that really, really desperately needs to get into your attention. So let's see. One, you live in a hotel and you keep moving from room to room. Okay. And two, you have a baby that you're desperately trying to take care of, but it usually just disappears. Ah, those are interesting. Okay. So, Mary Kay, have you been moving around a lot yourself? Have you been thinking about moving? There's a lot of movement going on with you. And it seems that you're not happy with each room that you're picking, and you just keep moving from room to room to room to room to room and not finding anywhere to stay dedicated to. I think the fact that it's like a hotel suggests that you don't feel like you're at home wherever you are. And, yeah, okay. So you're definitely going to be, that tells me that if you're thinking about moving, that you want to be sure on the place that you're moving to, as you don't want to keep moving and then coming back, moving again and going back, because that can definitely just build up lots of stress for you and just really keep you, well, you know, moving around is always good learning experiences, but man, that takes a toll on you financially, you know, physically. It's a lot of work. And you have a baby that you're desperately trying to take care of, but it usually just disappears. So, wow. Yeah, definitely. Good idea to visit. And then decide if you like the place, etc. Maybe you should literally stay in a hotel in that place, or in each place that you want to go. Maybe stay in a hotel, go from one room in one city to another room in another. Kind of like keeping, it's almost like a premonition, but yet a warning too. You know what I mean? I think that would definitely be beneficial for you. And this baby that you're trying to take care of, now, do you know who the father is? Do you know where it came from, et cetera, et cetera? Is it your baby? Or just a baby that kind of fell into your possession? And it's really scary that it disappears. Like, do you lose track of it? Does it? Oh my gosh, that's scary. I think that that's reflecting to, there's, okay, now whenever the child comes up in the cards, it's a childlike state of happiness. And it could be that you're hanging on to this innocent, pure kind of demeanor or this part to you. But, and you're desperately trying to take care of it. Oh, sometimes a puppy, too. Okay, you're trying to take care of it. It's like this little gem. It reminds me of, like, hanging on to this diamond in the rough, you know? That thing that really just keeps you going, the thing that you're living for, that you're just desperate to make sure is okay, completely disappears, and you feel just not, you feel not okay. And again, that's where desperate, wow, that word just sticks out for me so much. So you feed it, love it, do CPR, but it slowly gets smaller and smaller and disappears. Oh my gosh, that's scary. Yeah, definitely. You're doing all the work, to take care of it, and it just disappears. Do you know where it goes? Have you ever found her or found it again, the baby or the puppy? Here, what I'm going to do for you is pull out, we're going to do two cards. I'll pull one card for your first dream and then one card for your second dream. All right, so for the hotel and the moving, moving from room to room, your focus should be, on money. The fish came up. So focus on the money that is going to be taking part when you're moving around from room to room. Keep that in mind, as money is going to play some important roles. Let's see. And then we're going to pick a card for your second dream. And I'm going to pick this up intuitively, pick off your dream. Wow. The money card came again. That is crazy. That never happens. Oh, no audio. Can you hear? Can we hear loud and clear? Is everybody able to hear me? I hope so. Again, the money card. So your dreams are definitely about money. And I have a feeling that this baby may be like the little money that you have. And that you're still desperately trying to take care of. And it just gets smaller and smaller and smaller until poof, it disappears. How interesting. Very, very interesting. I wonder what your relationship is like with your money. Do you feed it? Do you love it? Huh. That's great. Oh, man, I hope it's working. I don't know. Mine is still working. Just Blog Talk is being crazy right now. Okay, finally. Wow, I got my switchboard all up. That took so long. Sorry about the refresh, guys. Hopefully that this will pan out a little bit better. Oh, Byron, hopefully that it clears for it. So, Mary Kay, I hope that helps a little bit. Okay, good. You can hear it now. But, yeah, I think you're very concerned with money. Don't get me wrong here. That's just kind of what I'm seeing from what you give me. I think that you should watch how you spend your money. And especially with moving, better watch that it's not going to places it doesn't need to be. So kind of be a little frugal, if you will. I think you had something here. I'm having trouble with a business that I've worked really hard on. That's what you said. Well, is it your own business? Are you trying to start your own business, or do you have it already in place? Definitely, that's going to be a big concern, as it takes a lot of money to create your own business and start and keep it going. Oh, it takes so much money and so much time. I'm working on that myself, and it just takes forever. And you, of course, need the startup revenue. And if you have, like, savings, oh, yeah, very much so. It definitely could be your baby. And take care of it. But you feel like it's getting smaller and smaller. Maybe what you're doing now is going to diminish that and eat it away and make that smaller and smaller. So maybe you have to do something new. Maybe you either need more money or... Mary Kay has that, Byron. Oh, wow, that is delayed. Oh, my gosh. It really is so delayed. Like, I'll be talking, and then, like, 3 minutes later, the words pop up. That's all right. I like a little challenge. But, yes, that could very much so. I mean, a business to anybody feels like a baby, you know? You definitely have to feed it and love it and maybe even do CPR to it just to keep it alive. You've got to give, like, so much just to keep that going. So, oh, my gosh. Yeah. Mary Kay, what we could do, if you want, I can give you a little bit of a more detailed reading, if you would like. If you have a question that you would like to kind of address, you can just ask it in the chat, and then I will pull a card for you, and then we can focus on what symbolism it means, what ideals it should bring up, and how hopefully we can better answer your questions about this business, because I don't want your business to just completely disappear. I wish your business to grow and fruition completely, and of course that you do very well. So if you have a specific question that maybe you need some help with or that has been on your mind for a while, definitely go ahead and type it in the chat, and then I will pick it out intuitively for you. What you can do to effortlessly grow your business. All right, wonderful question. I'm going to shuffle here and then pick a card on you. establishing our connection. And, I got the woman. The woman is a very positive card. And it suggests either love for a woman or a maternal instinct. So I'm thinking, since this whole baby thing came up, you need to bring out your maternal instinct in creating this business. May I ask what the business is about? Because depending on what it is, the motherly instinct may be very important to getting customers or vendors or advertisers, anything. Having that mothering, kind of nurturing way about you could very much be a very positive way to go. I think that, that is such a perfect comparison. You are the mother of this business. Okay. A web designer. So, take along this, like, see, exactly. There you go. Now, that's something that you can definitely go after. You can, if you are babying your clients and you really just take absolute care of them, that would be something that I would advertise, like, hardcore. I'd be like, oh, hey, I'm Mother Nature Computer or something like that. I'm the Mother Nature Designer, the Mother Web Designer. Something kind of catchy like that. Be like, yeah, this is your mama, and I'm going to take care of you like my little baby. I don't know. But, you know, be creative with it. Come up with something interesting for it. I think that would be a very, very positive way to go. And especially since your dreams kind of had that baby in it, and, you know, you really, really have that focus. I really feel that you just have that amazing caring quality to you already. I think that's very predominant with you, and that you're up early in the morning, so I don't even know if you have kids of your own that you're getting off to school. But that's a very, very, very good business technique, I think. Very good. I think I'm just going to pull one more card. See what we get for you. And we got the dog. Dog is loyalty and friendships. So definitely make those loving motherly connections with the people that are loyal to you and the people that you consider friends, as they will definitely be helping you out and helping provide insight for the things that you need help with, because friends are definitely a very good support system. And I find that even here on Blog Talk Radio, great support system. Like, Blog Talk is such an amazing place. Without being here and listening here, I definitely would not be where I am today. Oh, you're very welcome, Mary Kay. And yes, I did pull the dog card. Totally true. Totally 100% real, I promise. Oh, yeah, definitely important to have the right clients. Very true. Sometimes you need those people to drift in and out, but without them, then it wouldn't be the good clients that stick around. All right. So we are going to take a little bit of a break. And I'm going to play a little cute song to kind of bring in a little bit good energy. So enjoy Fireflies.
Planet Earth turns slowly. It's hard to say that I'd rather stay awake when I'm asleep, 'cause everything is never as it seems. 'Cause I get 1,000 hugs from 10,000 lightning bugs as they try to teach me how to dance. A foxtrot above my head, a sock hop beneath my bed, a disco ball is just hanging by a thread.
Every Monday morning. Okay, great, Molo. I'll be waiting for you to call in. Okay. Let's see. We'll go, I think that's Moro, area code 561. All right. Put you through. Hello.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
You're a dream interpreter, are you? This is cool.
Yeah. I do this for everyone, and we talk about dreams, and maybe as far as intertangle, and we kind of, because sometimes I'll find that I'll be dreaming of my friends, and they'll be having the same dream, too. So we always kind of compare and contrast, you know.
Have you been diagnosed as precognitive or anything?
I haven't been diagnosed, but I surely know that my dreams are very precognitive.
I'm sorry, there's an airplane taking off behind me. You may hear that in the background.
Oh, that's fine. I used to live underneath the airport, and it was very loud.
Yeah, so you can totally relate to that, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow, that's great.
So, yeah, they definitely become precognitive. I mean, I think most people's dreams are. They give a little.
I think precognition can be taught.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's like reading or writing. You have to be taught how to interpret the intuition that comes through your body and develop that into a fine-tuned mechanism,
mm-hmm.
like any skill.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely something that to be worked on and practiced upon. I mean, it can only get better if you just keep, you know, practicing and paying attention.
Oh, absolutely. I agree 100%.
I think one of the big things that really opened me up to that kind of thing
mm-hmm.
is deja vu. That really, really started messing with me. And once I had it so much, I was like, okay, there's got to be something going on here. There has to be. So then,
exactly.
You know, I looked into it more and more. And, you know, here I am now. I can get little premonitions from my dreams and know a couple of things in advance. I don't know if you heard earlier, but I was talking about how I met with a random group of people this weekend, and I swear I met them all before and, like, in the same setting and everything. Everyone seemed so familiar.
No,
and
that sounds like precognition.
Definitely.
I've had several clients who have come to me with what they thought was deja vu, and
mm-hmm.
in actuality, it was the beginnings of precognitive surfacing of psychological capabilities that they had, that they
mm-hmm.
had allowed themselves to go with it. So when they came in, we had a few sessions together, and then we tested them for them.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. So how do you know? Are you a psychologist yourself?
I am a psychologist, yes.
Okay. All right.
My specialty is in forensic psychology, and I had a 20-year career in trauma medicine before that.
Oh, wow.
So I've kind of seen some things.
Yeah, definitely. Well, if you'd like to just shed some light, then go ahead.
Okay.
That'd be great.
Absolutely.
So what do you think? What are your opinions about dreams? Do you think they're just little messages that either needs to be released from the brain, or do you think they actually hold significance, let alone precognition?
They're significant to the individual because you have to remember what sleep is. Sleep
mm-hmm.
is the brain's way of allowing you very quietly to go insane every night and then come back perfectly normal in the morning to take out the garbage, expel the toxins of the mind, so to speak. And remember, in dreams, you can do anything anyone else can. You can be Donald Trump. You can win at the blackjack table. You can lure the ladies. I mean, you can do anything you want in a dream. Go shoe shopping, whatever. You know, it's a ball. But in the morning when you wake up, the reality is, now, what did that mean? You know, and some
mm-hmm.
of it, some of it's chemical. And some
mm-hmm.
of it is biologic. Now, by that, I mean, you know as well as I do that the foods you eat affect how you dream.
Yes.
I'm sure you know that.
Oh, yeah.
That goes without saying, and sometimes, sometimes, you know, it's just kind of more important not to have a sardine sandwich before you go to bed. You know, certain foods have certain capabilities. They tested this at Duke, by the way, Duke University.
Mm-hmm.
They have a really big parapsychogenic lab there that they do lot of paranormal work with. But I tell people all the time, I said, look, don't try and interpret your own dreams. Go to somebody who has read some books and, you know, doesn't necessarily have a degree, but they at least understand the concept of dream interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think anyone can do it. You don't have to be a psychologist, but it's very important not to mislead somebody that way.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. That's why I try to pick up intuitively. What I do is I can really, for some reason, I can really read a person once they tell me what's going on in their dreams. For some
reason, might make a pretty good profiler.
I hope so. That's what I'm working on. I actually started out, believe it or not, I started the Dream Teacher making music, and that was my music name. And then it just kind of came out into this and worked out.
That's sort of like Stephen Wright, who made millions of dollars off of a music album called Dreamweaver in the 60s.
Wow.
So there's nothing new. It's just someone else who's doing it newer.
Yeah, exactly. You got to things refresh, and things are always repeated. History repeats itself.
Yeah, unfortunately, what was old will be new again.
Like all the fads coming out, the lighting.
Oh yeah, I never thought I'd see bell bottoms come back, but they sure did. I'm a little frightened though, because I'm afraid leisure suits are going to make the rounds again.
Oh, gosh.
And after the 70s, I don't ever want to see those again.
Well, I wasn't around for it for the first time, so I might be good the second.
Trust me, I was a Woodstock kid. I've been around.
Oh, wow.
Woo!
I wish I could experience that. I could see the movie, that's about it.
Well, you know, there's a thing I always say to people that if you can remember Woodstock, you weren't there. Because most of the people that were there really don't remember what happened when they were there. They know they showed up in one set of clothes and left in another.
Oh, my God.
And usually with either pneumonia, an upper respiratory infection, or a sexually transmitted disease, because
oh
it was 3 days of mud, rain, and music, and alcohol, drugs, the whole routine. It was a madhouse.
That sounds like a big-ass party.
Biggest party you'll ever see in your life. 100,000-plus people.
I think we should have another one.
They tried to upgrade the idea, and, you know, somebody kind of Fifth Avenued it way too much and got away from the original concept of what Woodstock was about, which was music, love, and peace. And the second one, they had valet parking and catering and geez Louise.
Oh.
It really, it totally got out of hand, dude.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like it. It totally tainted, like, the whole reason and the whole point of it.
Now, what part of the country are you in?
I'm in Ohio, in Cleveland.
Oh, okay. I'm in Palm Beach, Florida.
Oh, wow. I'm jealous.
I was in Cleveland once a long time ago. I had a really good time.
Yeah, once, exactly.
Well, I went looking for a place called Tony Paco's, the Hungarian hot dogs or something like that, because of a TV show that I saw. You know, this guy really going off talking about Tony Paco's, and I never did find it, but I had fun looking, and I met some really nice people there.
Oh, yeah, definitely great people here. That's probably why it's hard to leave, because, I mean, there's really great connections here. Really great people. They're just all stuck in a shitty place. That's all. So, yeah, it was weird. I had a psychic reader tell me that I'm going to be traveling a lot back and forth to Florida, and a lot of Florida things have been coming up recently, like within my own reality, I guess.
I put the website in there for my book, by the way.
Okay. Let's see.
And it's we're negotiating with Fox at the moment to sell that to as a TV series for next year.
Oh, wow. So do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Well, the book is called The Streets Ran Red, and it's about the first job I had when I came home from Vietnam as a deputy sheriff paramedic in the early 70s. And it's based on true events. Everything that happens in the book happened in the real world. The only thing different about the book is that, of course, for privacy's sake, I changed names and locations.
Mm-hmm.
It is graphic in nature, and it will, for all intent and purposes, let you know what it feels like to strap on a badge and a gun and go out and work the streets, not just paramedic, but as a deputy. And it's actually dedicated to everyone in law enforcement and EMS, men and women, doctors, nurses, the whole routine, because the reality of the job is far more intense than television. Television's got a lot of good shows and stuff on that show you, but they really don't show you how it feels to wake up in the morning and put on a uniform, knowing in the back of your mind that today you may have to take someone's life, or even far worse, someone may take yours. That takes a special breed of cat.
Yeah, definitely. See, that's a really
that's
hard
where
point.
Your show comes in, because if you ever had any intuition or precognition, trust me, you'll use it in this job.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
it'll keep you alive.
Yeah, definitely. You got to use that. You got to be on your toes at all times. And what better place for that to come out than saving your own life sometimes and the lives of others?
Well, the first rule of law enforcement is go home at the end of your shift. If you can fulfill that, you've completed your duty for the day. You know, you're okay.
Wow. I couldn't imagine living like that day to day.
Well, you know what happens? I'll tell you a little secret.
Okay.
And this happens to policemen. This happens to trauma surgeons. This happens to some nurses. This happens to a number of people. They become what's called adrenaline jockeys.
Mm.
And they're sort of like surfing the next chemical high of how bad can I get somebody through this situation. And you keep doing it because every time you think you've seen it all, something else comes along and says, no, you haven't either. And, the book is is very graphic in that fashion, in that you see the reality of life and humanity. And that always influences people in different ways.
Oh, definitely. See, now what you were trying to get across is, you know, that wake up in the morning and what you have to do that whole day. Again, keeping that in the back of your mind that, that you may, you know, run the risk of your life today. And that's a very hard point to convey, like in TV shows and stuff, because you really can't, you don't get much of the thoughts. You don't hear many of the
there you go.
Narrator.
See, they only have two-dimensional capabilities there. They can show you a picture and deliver some lines, but they can't really, even the best actors in the world can't show you thought.
Right.
And that's where movies and TV fail reality. We can put anything you want on the screen and make it happen, but the reality is that when all is said and done, when you woke up this morning, you sat there on the edge of your bed and you thought about today, and you did it in your own special little way. And everybody does that. That's what makes them. And the
very
key
much.
To this whole thing is that, you know, no matter how good or bad your life is, there's always going to be someone who's either better or worse.
Yeah. definitely. I feel you.
What's the strangest dream you've ever interpreted?
The strangest dream I've interpreted?
Yeah.
There was a pretty funny one that I remember. It was a close friend. His name is Aaron, and he actually used to live in the house that I'm living in now. And he told me, he told me, he was like, I dreamed that I was, that this house was an entire jungle, and that, a bunch of girls live here, so it's kind of like always like king of the jungle, and who's, you know, going to be the loudest one, who's going to get the most attention, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, he told me about that, and now he had to do all this secret undercover work and, like, running around and running through the jungle and, like, doing kind of, like, army co-op mission, which is ironic because now he's in the army. And I thought it was pretty funny because it kind of related to me as well. And I woke up, and I had almost the same feeling, but I didn't dream the same thing. And I woke up and went outside, and there are just birds surrounding the entire house, and they were just going crazy. Like, I woke up feeling like I was in the jungle myself. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so weird. It's so weird. Because, like, when I start doing dreams for other people, they kind of come into my own dreams, too.
That makes sense, though.
Yeah, definitely.
That's logical. That makes a lot of sense.
Right. See, now, I've been doing the same thing. What I do is, you know, help people and give advice on my other show. And I started doing it so much to the point where people could get a hold of me whenever, and it was really depleting my own, like, energy. It was really killing me. So I had to finally cut that off because it was just getting into my life so much, and it was literally driving me crazy. I barely could tell my life from somebody else's and, you know, giving advice. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, I can't even decipher which is which. So I got to watch when I do that too much, because then it just starts to intertwine with my own life.
Yeah, that's overlap, and that happens on a lot of people who do dream interpretation for a living. You have to be careful not to have transference or even counter-transference of the dreams take over. If it does, it really affects the quality of what you're doing. Most people try to be too literal about interpreting dreams, and they get it all wrong. That's where they go astray. Dreams are not literal. You know, if you dream about a dog, it's got nothing to do with a dog at all. You know,
Definitely. I mean, see, I get the card. I have cards, and the dog means friendship and loyalty.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, it could be kind of things like that, things that have, like, that little dual meaning, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
See, but, okay, now, one of the most confusing dreams that I can't even interpret, I had myself. I explained it on the last show, my first show that I had, because we were talking about dreams, and I was talking about mine. And the one, I was, like, in this school, and I was running around and doing stuff, and it was, like, a dorm. And there was this old woman that lived there, and she had this bathroom, this beautiful, beautiful bathroom that nobody was allowed to use. And it was, like, marble countertops, and there were sailboats everywhere. Okay, she was obsessed with sailboats. And so I remember she, like, came up and gave me a hug, and she whispered in my ear. She's like, did you find it? And I said, find what? She asked. She's like, the note, the rip. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, like, I went over, and, like, I knew exactly what she was talking about, so I was going to look for this rope. And I went and used her bathroom, the one that nobody was supposed to use. And then, bam, somebody took a picture of me right as I was washing my hands. And I turned around, went into the closet, and I found the rope. So I pulled it, and attached at the end was a note in the shape of a sail. So I grabbed it, and, like, for some reason, I knew the dream was ending, so I put it in my pocket quickly. And then, boom, I woke up. And I'm like, okay, now what the heck does this note say? Where is it? I'm like, I woke up digging in my pockets, like,
looking
what
for
is
the
it?
Note,
what is
of
it?
Course. Yeah, that makes sense.
I didn't even know. I would love to figure out what the heck that note said.
The note probably said, don't pull on the rope. Sometimes the going into the bathroom is, especially if it's like a private bathroom in the dream and you went in there, it's subconsciously your mind is basically saying you're going someplace that you know you shouldn't go, and it's probably not the best idea, but you're going to do it anyhow because you're going to push the envelope. That's what, you know, that's the acetylcholine test. You're human, you know, humans all do that. But the rope and the note. The note is the reward, the payoff, and there was no payoff because you never got to read the note and find out what it was. But
right.
It was sort of like, it was sort of like you telling yourself, you know, you need more definition in your restraint.
Hmm.
That would be, you know, I think the strangest one I can ever recall anyone telling me was about a guy who used to dream at night that he was standing on this mountaintop with all these little Hindu Gandhi-like guys at the bottom, and he was wearing orange sun god robes, and all these little Gandhi guys were throwing gherkin pickles at him. And that was probably the strangest dream I've ever had anyone send me. Trying to elaborate on that one was, you know, I wrote that down and took it to a conference in Las Vegas of other psychologists specifically doctors who do nothing but dream interpretation. And
there's the best doctors for that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. There are some psychologists who do absolutely nothing but dream therapy, hypnotic regression, that sort of thing. And the best answer that I got collectively from the dream interpreters was that this person was on the borderline of schizophrenia. And this was a chemical reaction dream to his serotonin levels, which I found to be an interesting answer, considering what the dream represented. I thought it was sexual myself, to be honest with you.
Wow.
The little gherkins and the Gandhi-like guys in the robes. You know, this guy needed to find a girlfriend really quickly.
Or apparently he's going to go crazy.
Something, you know. Wow. You know, most of the time, there may not be a message in the dream. There's just you pleasing yourself mentally with the dream, and most people never get that part.
Yeah, it's really sad, and you know, some might get it, but they just don't remember it either.
Well, they come into the office angry because I keep having this damn dream over and over and over again, and it won't. And I'm not happy, and I want to know what it means, and yada, yada, yada. And I said, look, it doesn't have to mean anything. It's just your way of taking your mind out for a little walk in the park.
Exactly. I mean, we've got to vent somehow. We've got to get that stress out somehow.
Absolutely. And that's what dreams are. They're a methodology of allowing ourselves to take our mind out for a walk and do the things in our dreams that we couldn't do in reality.
Yep, exactly. There's an infinite amount of possibilities to be had in our dreams. And that can be totally taken advantage of if you can become aware that you control your dreams and that they are able to be brought into consciously. The whole lucid dreaming thing is a very big little factor on my part. I love lucid dreaming. My favorite time is in the early afternoon, right after, you know, I'm done working a shift at work. I come home and I'll take like a little cat nap, but it's like more of like almost a deep meditation, and it's like a dream where I'm awake and I'm not awake at the same time, and then I really manipulate that lucid state. It's great.
The beginning of REM sleep.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
So fun.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Wow.
I've only had like two really powerful lucid dreams, and the one I remember how I was laying there, and then I thought I got up, and I started walking around my house, and I'm like, I really think I'm dreaming right now. So I decided to, like, make myself float in the air and do a flip. So what happened was I got up in the air, and then I started to, you know, do a little somersault in the air, but I only got halfway. My head, you know, was down to the ground, and my feet were up to the ceiling.
So what did the German judges give you for that?
I'm sorry?
What did the German judges give you for that, a 9.5 or a... Mary Kay is asking to talk a little more about lucid dreams.
How to.
I think she wants to know about awake state dreaming.
Okay. Well, if you... See, I'm not good about the awake state dreaming. If you want to talk a little bit about that, and then I'll talk about the lucid dreams.
Well, go ahead and give me what you got, and if, you know, if there's something I can add, I will.
Okay.
You know, this is your show. I don't want to take over.
Well, you're definitely a very informative guy, and I think you should definitely come on the show again, if you would like.
Yeah, I didn't, I wasn't aware you were here. You'll have to email me when you're going to be on again.
Oh, it's on every morning, every Monday mornings at 7.
Oh, okay. I'll have to keep that in mind.
Good deal. Yeah, you can just either add me on Blog Talk or favorite the show.
Because I'm usually up by about 4:30 or 5.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I edit my book early in the morning. I do a lot of my writing and editing overnight and in the early hour of morning. So if I do sleep, I'll be up by 4:30 and work on the book until 5 or 6.
Wow.
And have some coffee and come to a conscious state. Never write clear-headed. It takes away from the creative process.
Oh, really? That's good advice. Yeah. 'Cause I'm trying to do this writing thing. And I woke up actually yesterday morning, and I don't know if you heard again earlier, but I read Conversations with God, so I kind of wanted to write God myself.
Boy, that'll stimulate you.
Yeah, definitely. So it was pretty cool, and I it just happened right when I woke up. Like, for some reason, I just had to write as soon as I woke up. So I just went with it, and it really was a much better time of day to write. It wasn't clouded by any other opinions and judgment that I made throughout the whole day, so it was really nice. Okay, well, anyways.
The conscious dream state basically is sort of an advanced state of daydreaming. You clear your mind of everything, focus on something. For me, I look out my window and... I can see the ocean, so I kind of sit here and focus on something far out at sea and allow my mind to just kind of wander wherever it wants to go that way. And most intelligent people will grasp that capability and run with it when they can. I highly and strongly urge you not to try and do this while driving. Because there are other people on the freeway who are also doing it, and it'll look like NASCAR. So please, you know, wait till you're sitting by the beach or looking in your office at a picture or something like that. We are professionals. Don't try and do this at home, you know, that sort of thing.
Definitely, I feel you. See, that's another thing I wanted to bring into the light. Now, not just dreams that happen during sleep, but the daydreams are very important, as they kind of really give you that creative process, since you kind of are awake and then you really go into, you know, la-la land and just drift off into your own.
I think the urgency of daydreams is more important than night dreams, primarily because of the fact that whatever you're thinking or feeling is so urgent that it's pushing to the top in a conscious state is like trying to get your attention and say, hey, you know, gridlock, listen to this. This is important, you know. And so when I have patients who are coming to me with something like that, I say, well, let's talk about that, you know, and lead them through it. Let them interpret it on their own as to what they think, because 90% of the time they have the answers. They just can't interpret them properly.
Right, right, right. They always
have. It's like walking a small child across the street. You take his hand, you look both ways, and then you kind of waltz him across the street.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Very good example. Let's see. We'll talk a little bit about the lucid dreams now. Okay, now lucid dreaming is when you are conscious of the fact that you are dreaming, and you can really take control of your dreams that way. I don't know if any of you have heard of the movie Waking Life. Very good movie. It's pretty much an entire dream, and it takes you through this person's dream and how he talks to anybody he wants, random people, just all these random things going on. And in it, it gives you some clues as to how to get into lucid dreams. Now, there's techniques that you can do. There are kind of sleep inductions that you can do yourself. There's, I think they call it the wild, the wake-induced lucid dream. And it's where you are sitting there awake and you're consciously focusing on, like, dreaming and, like, certain events, and you're just awake and you let your body paralysis kind of take over, and it just kind of, like, let's see, I'm going to get a little bit more about it.
Give them an example.
An example. See, I'm not sure because I've never had a wild before.
Definitely give them an example. Tell them how you're picking cards or something. You know. One of the things and I'll help you with this a little bit.
Okay.
Lucid dream states. For people who are not, what's the word I want to use here? For people who are not savants, okay, who are normal in every way, your mind is so complex and scattered that you are unfocused. So the lucid dream state will allow you to pull the reins back and let the mind wander and follow its state that it wants to go in. If you saw the movie Rain Man, okay, Dustin Hoffman played a savant, a very focused savant mathematically. This is the opposite side of a lucid dream state, okay? He was perfectly awake. However, his mind had such a grasp of numerical mathematic capability that he could look at the box of toothpicks and know that there were four in the box. He could look and count a five-shoe deck of cards and know how many aces were left, how many picture cards were left, and like that. That's focused. Mm-hmm. That's a savant. Most people have that capability in their brain. They do not, however, have control of it or a means of teaching themselves to control it that way. So that's why everyone doesn't go to Vegas and count cards. The lucid state is sort of taking the leashes off of your puppies of your mind and allowing them to run free in the park.
Mm. Okay.
A little poetic for this early in the morning, but I apologize for that.
Oh, that's quite all right. Definitely a beautiful morning. We got to create a better Monday morning atmosphere. So,
is it cold yet there in Cleveland?
Oh, it is freezing.
Oh, yeah, I don't do four-letter weather. Cold and snow, I don't go above the Manson-Nixon line once the once the weather changes up there. I have a lot of friends in the Northeast and the in many states up there, but I don't do cold weather very well at all.
Yeah.
I had a little too much trauma to the body for cold weather.
Yeah, it's been cold for a good month and a half now.
Well, you guys are serious about winter there. You really do winter well there.
Oh, yeah, we annihilate it, but sometimes it really gets us. This one's going to be a bad one, I already tell. I can already tell it's going to be.
Really? How come? How do you know?
Because it got cold so early this year.
Like, I see.
It was barely warm at all. Like, it felt like just the heat wave lasted for like 3 months, and then boom, it's cold.
Yeah.
It's way more colder than it is warmer here.
Oh, I had something really good happen that might be useful for your show. I had a guy come to me in July, and he told me of a dream that he had. Now, it turns out that this was not a dream. This was precognition. But he had this reoccurring precognitive dream, and he said it wasn't fuzzy like my normal dreams. It was like watching a videotape. And I said, well, tell me what you saw in the tape. And he said, well, I was at the World Series. I said, yeah, who was playing? And he named the teams that were playing. And he said, the Yankees and the Phillies were playing. So that's interesting. And I'm writing all this down. And I said, what do you think that means? He says, well, he says, I'm a Marlins fan, so it doesn't mean much to me. I wouldn't go to a World Series with those two teams.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah, but this is significant in some fashion. So anyhow, he says, I'm going to Vegas next week to a conference. And I said, well, you know, in Vegas, you can bet on the outcome of the World Series, and the earlier you bet, the higher the odds are. And he said, yeah, I'll think about that. So he went to Vegas to his conference, and he came back. And he bet on those two teams to win the World Series, and he spent, I think, $10 per team. So he spent $20.
Right.
And, of course, the Yankees won the World Series, and he made enough money off of that bet to pay off his house.
Wow.
And that actually happened. That's a real client of mine. So.
Wow. That is awesome. Man,
well,
I need those kind of things.
See, the thing is that the message here to that story is that you really need to pay attention to detail. Don't take it literally, but you know, dreams are mostly fuzzy. They're incoherent, unclear pieces of a story that's going on in your mind. Precognition, on the other hand, is very much like watching a videotape with a lot of detail. And the detail could, in some cases, be very significant in your life. So you really need to kind of watch that.
Yeah, definitely. That's why I try to write down, when I wake up, I'll write down just as many things as I can remember. Any detail, any signs, any pictures, anything. So that way, just in case it needs to go back to or something that needs to be brought to light, it will be at a different time. It's all in writing there. But, you know, they really just disappear from you almost instantly when you wake up.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. I had to go back when this guy told me that, you know, he had just paid off his house with what he won. I went back to my July session notes and pulled it out. I said, I can't believe I had in my possession the prediction for who was going to win the World Series, and I didn't make a penny off of it. And I just can't. My wife, you know, basically came in and was screaming to me, you knew this and you did nothing about it. And I said, well, I'm not a gambler. I'm a psychologist. And she said, well, in the future, pay attention to gambling bets. I said, okay. Because I could have made the bet right here from the house.
Wow.
You can call Vegas from anywhere in the country and make a bet.
Wow, really?
No, yeah. Yeah, I had a kid with a gambling addiction problem who ran up an $800,000 tab.
Oh, boy.
Using his father's gold card, or platinum card, yeah.
All right, well, what we're going to do, we're going to take a short break real quick, and after play a couple songs. Then would you like to come back and then talk a little bit more about lucid dreaming?
Sure, absolutely. I need to get some more coffee anyhow.
All right, perfect. All right, then we will be right back. All right, so let's see. We're going to play a little bit of Leona Lewis, and then we'll play some of the Dream Theater.
Someone once told me that you have to choose what you win or lose. You can't have everything. Don't you take chances, you might feel pain. Don't you love in vain, 'cause love won't set you free. I could stand by the shine, and watch this life pass me by. So unhappy, but safe as could be.
When I look off at a time, there's no place I'd rather find. It's not hard to define. When I left of all time. When I left of all time. Just another page to turn in history. Then you are stuck in a world starting with Dimension 3. It is now time for all people on Earth to realize there's more to life than what you see with your physical eyes.
I know, right?
When I lose all of time, there's no place I'd rather find. Can you feel the beat? It runs through your feet, and without it, the song would be incomplete. It's not hard to
I know for me, one of the things that changed my thinking about time very much was the electronic music. The electronic music.
somewhere.
I thought about it, but like I don't even know where to go. I have like a whole CD that is like 11 songs that I did put up for a
Dude,
while.
Dude, you need to market that.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
Wow.
That's a good sound. I think somebody would pick up on that. There's such a vast market of music out there on so many different realms that, you know, I think you would probably get slid into the New Age area somewhere.
Oh,
or something
definitely.
Along that, or even mood music for that matter.
Yeah. I thought about it. Somebody told me before, they're like, wow, these songs kind of sound like something that I would just have sex to. And I'm like, well, I mean, hey, that's fine. I'm
You're
right
being
with
compared
that.
To Ravel's Bolero.
I don't even know what that is.
That is the most erotic, sexy, classical song in history.
What is
More
it?
Children have been created to that piece of classical music than any other piece of classical music in history.
Wow.
If you get a chance, you should listen to it. Ravel, and the song is called Bolero.
Bolero?
Balero.
Okay. Well, you should type it in the chat, and that way I can see it that way.
Oh, okay.
That would be perfect. And I can just copy and paste. Well, that's pretty funny. Yeah, somebody said that to me, and I'm like, wow, I never really thought about it. But, like, the whole CD is, there's, I think, 5 songs with words and then 6 songs with no words. Oh, okay, perfect.
Well, that's probably the best compliment a musician can get on a song is it's, I mean, you know, if somebody tells you that they want to make love to your music, at least they're not trying to go to war. I mean, it's just the opposite. The ultimate
yeah,
thief, pardon the pun.
How punny. I've heard that one the other week. I was like, oh yeah, can't wait to use that. But yeah, well, that's pretty cool. I never thought about it like that. But I would love to get that out there. I mean,
Mary Kay says you are too young to remember Bolero.
I'm only 20.
I kind of figured that. Yeah, you know, I was 20 once. Well, actually more than once, but that's another number I don't want to deal with.
I'm almost there. I'm not even 21 yet. Oh.
Trust me. Relax. Enjoy the time. You're just starting out. I guess the best advice I would give you is find something you're extremely passionate about and focus on it, making it your career. Pick something that you would do for free even though they're willing to pay you.
Ironic enough, here we sit on the radio show.
Yeah. Can you believe it?
Right? There it is. Hey, that's the one thing I'm going for. I got 2 shows right now. So, and I'm really thinking about going to school for broadcasting. And just being on the radio and seeing where it takes me. I mean, I dream of fame, fortune, wealth, you know, all
well,
the whole 9.
Be careful with Hollywood. They'll break your heart.
I've gotten my heart broken enough times that...
Fame is really kind of its own reward in some cases. When my book went international and I started getting, I do book signings all over the world now, but when I, some of the book signings that I've done because of the content of my book have sort of looked like the cafe scene at Star Wars. And, you know, these are people that are buying your book. So you have to, of course, be nice to them, but some of
right.
these folks are a little bit scary. You know, there's, you know, their family tree goes straight up and doesn't branch, you know.
Oh, my.
A lot of fun.
Sorry. I got a truck going by here.
Oh, I thought maybe you had an airplane landing.
No, not this time. I mean, I live right in the city, and I live in the direct center of East Lake. So I can see the stadium from my house, and there's restaurants everywhere, and just cars constantly
now,
driving by.
Do you guys have separate stadiums for the Browns and the Indians?
Yeah,
where
we do.
Or they play in the same ballpark?
No, we have separate ones. And they just renamed it. It used to be Jacobs Field, and now it's the Prague Progressive Field.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Nobody's happy about that.
Really? How come?
It's just always used to be Jacob's Field, and nobody likes the progressive. It's just like, come on. There was no point in them changing it. There's no reason. It was always Jacob's Field, and then now that, you know,
well, somebody got a paycheck
it,
for changing the
exactly.
name. You can pretty much guarantee that.
Oh, exactly. That's why. So, they're making their money, whatever. It'll still always be Jacob's Field to us, for the real Cleveland people.
It's like Camden Yards in Baltimore. They built these two beautiful stadiums for the Ravens and the Orioles, and
mm-hmm.
they tore down Memorial Stadium, which there was so much history in this ballpark. You know, like half dozen world championships on the football side, and countless World Series were played and won there by the Orioles, and they tore it down. I said, there's no respect
wow.
for tradition or history anymore.
Right? That's so
you know, I couldn't believe it. I had gone back there for a conference at Hopkins, and I always used to go by that ballpark because a lot of my old friends were Major League ball players. And when I went there and it was gone, it was like somebody took a finger from my hand or something. I couldn't believe it. And I said, you know,
oh my God.
Sports history has to have more respect for it than what's going on out there.
Oh, definitely. Especially if these players are getting paid millions of dollars.
You know, when a guy gets $161 million to throw a baseball and a cancer researcher is barely making 80 grand a year, there's something seriously wrong with our
yeah.
prioritizations there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, give the cancer research people the $161 million. They need it more than the ball players.
Oh, definitely. They have a lot better stuff to be doing right now.
I actually heard a ball player say in an interview once that he couldn't make it on $100 million a year.
Wow.
How can you not get by on $100 million a year? I don't. There are governments that make it on less money than that.
Right?
You know?
That's crazy. I certainly make it on less than that. As
I can make it on the interest. I mean, the interest alone would be $4 or $5 million a year.
Oh my gosh, man, I would be so happy. I could do. Yeah, okay, I see what fame does to people. I can definitely see that.
Nice
but like,
one, Aaron. Nice one.
If I were to get $1 million, I know exactly what I would do with it. I was just this conversation has been had so much lately because I thought I was going to win the PCH thing. It was
yeah.
just a bunch of visions and. Numerical coincidences, so I was totally dead set on it. I'm like, okay, I know exactly what I'm going to do with $1 million.
Yeah.
And I would do a lot of investing, a lot of, giving it to other people, as Byron so well puts. I mean, I would give it to a bunch of people. There's a lot of people that I would take care of and, you know, immediate people. And then I would start tons and tons of businesses and new ideas. And I have books and books full of ideas and new inventions to create, new websites, just a whole bunch of new stuff. Like one of them I was thinking of doing Intuitext, and it's I don't know if any of you have heard of ChaCha, but it's an online-based texting service that I do work for, and what you do is you text any question that you have to 242-242, and then, yes, I do take calls, Angel Walker, and thank you for coming through tonight. You can call and talk about your dreams, or
you
can just type them in the chat. Ah, cool, thank you. But yeah, I do that kind of work, and then I was thinking about intertwining it and doing where you can text the psychic any question, and then, you know, they answer and they give you an intuitive answer. So I thought that would be a pretty cool thing to start too. But right now,
they have to
another
be up
dream.
There.
Yeah.
With the advanced state of the internet, there have to be sites out there for that, I'm sure.
I don't think
there
are
any original ideas left anymore.
There really aren't. They're all just really being taken up. Huh. Like, I'll come up with an idea, and seriously, the next day, it'll be out there, and I'll find it or something like that. I'm just like, wow, oh my gosh, you really got to jump on that inspired thought. As soon as you have it.
I had somebody come up to me and Matter of fact, on one of the shows I do here on BTR, and they said, why don't you have a website where people can do nothing but ask you questions? And I said, well, that's not a bad idea. And the next day I Googled the idea, and there were like 50 sites out there. I thought, forget about it.
All right, we do have a caller, 860. I'm pretty sure this is Angel Walker, so we're going to go ahead and put her, him or her through.
Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm so glad I found you.
Oh, okay.
My name is Ronnie.
Okay, hi, Ronnie.
And
Thank you for calling in.
Oh, no, I'm glad I found you. I'm in New England, and usually there's not too much on Block Talk this early, so I was very pleased. So I made a reminder.
Wonderful.
Okay, this is going to be a weird kind of dream.
Okay.
But I've been dreaming it over and over for the last 3 or 4 days. When I go back to sleep, I dream it again. And I'm usually a very grounded person. I try to ground myself every day. I've been dreaming that I'm homeless, that I've lost everything, and that I'm searching, and I can't even find my husband, and I have nowhere to live. And that's, like, so out of context.
Right. That's very scary. That's a very insecure feeling. I definitely feel for you. Now, is there any settings and any – what do you feel? Do you feel scared and worried, or are you actually okay with it?
With the dream?
Mm-hmm.
The dream,
like the dream
frightens me.
Frightened you. Okay.
Well,
so,
you know, we do, we have moved to a bigger place, and, you know, we do have issues, but nothing we can't handle.
Right. So, what I'm thinking, there may be some kind of issue that is either predominant now or has been set aside, and that is going to, depending on how you deal with it, it can have some negative influence. Now, I think that what your dream is kind of showing you is that, okay, well, this is kind of a way that it can go. You know, if this problem isn't solved, then, you know, you really could almost, in a sense, lose it all. And if you're homeless, that is really, for me, it really suggests that you need to kind of bring attention on the home life.
Yeah.
Since that's like a, you know, a big main focus for you. Morgan, do you have any opinion about what's going on?
The homeless part of it, you're married and you have a home and you're very stable. So the homeless side of it is what kind of gets my attention here. This, to me, sounds like your mind is basically telling you to shed some of the things that it's complicating your life with.
Okay.
You're telling yourself, you know, why, just stop doing this to yourself. Allow yourself the freedom to just focus on what's important. Reprioritize, if you will.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right,
would you
sense.
Oh, go ahead. Okay. Would you like me to pull a card for you just to kind of see where to
do.
Focus? All right, great.
Ace of spades.
All right. Now, what I got was the ship, and the ship is very suggestive of traveling and a lot of kind of movement. It is a very positive card, and it's, like I said, it just suggests lots of movement. So I think there's movement going around in your life right now, and it could be, actually, let's see. Affairs are moving rather than stagnant, so I'm gonna pull another card for you just to kind of see where these areas relate to. Okay, and we got the tree. So there is a lot of movement going on in your personal growth and your maturity, and that everything is moving in the right direction, and it's moving for this reason. And with your dream, it's helping you to be able to grow, and it is really telling you to kind of reflect and look back and really just kind of take everything in, where when the tree comes up, it tells you that you kind of need to sit back and sit under the shade and think for a while. Do you know what I mean?
I need to meditate more.
Ronnie, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Are you on the fence about something? Personal decision of some kind?
Yes.
Been kind of building on for a while?
Yeah, I have. I had to take custody of my grandchild from the hospital. And I'm going back in court for that. And it's always heavy on my mind.
There's
but, you know,
origin
when I was,
right there.
Yeah, and when I was a kid, you know, I had a struggled childhood like a lot of people do. And I was homeless for a short time. So that I guess there's old fears, you know.
There you go.
Can you see how the homeless dream correlates to the taking custody of a child?
Now that you say that.
You're preventing homelessness. It's not that you're going to be homeless.
Oh,
it's that in the back
cry.
Of your mind, you're going to keep from becoming homeless.
Yeah, because in the dream, he's with me.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
You tied it all together in your dream.
Wow. No, you just tied it together for me.
No, honey, it's all you. You did this yourself.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Very much so.
Okay, thank you. You guys are awesome.
You're so awesome. Oh, you're welcome, hon. We'll have a beautiful
Yeah, I will be listening, and I will be podcasting you, so.
Awesome.
I'm Angel Walker in the chat room.
Okay, that's what I thought.
No charge.
Okay, thank you. Blessings.
Have a great day.
All right.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah, that worked out pretty well, I think.
Yeah. Fortunately, it wasn't a complicated dream.
Yeah, that's true.
Sometimes these things build on each other, and you get a lot of what I call transitory idealisms that complicate the dream so that the baseline of what you're actually confused or concerned about doesn't come to the surface, and it kind of can throw off somebody who's trying to help you.
Oh, definitely. I mean, that throws me off all the time.
Totally, dude.
Throw me off. Oh, I have to type back. You're so welcome, Angel Walker. Big old heart for you.
She's dead direction now on what's going to happen with the future. And she'll probably stop having that dream.
Oh, I think so. I definitely think so. Oh, man, that just brought me to another kind of point that, I wonder if, you know, just talking about it and helping people interpret these will immediately stop them and just cut them off. So if you're listening to this, then we've helped you with a dream. If you want, call back, especially if you're listening in archive, and tell us if the dream has, you know, dissipated and, you know, it's no longer going there and what dream kind of came in to support that. Oh, we have another caller on the air, caller 216, but they didn't raise their hand. So if you do have a dream that you would like to talk about, just go ahead and press 1, and we'll be more than happy to put you through. And then we can talk about your dream and get a little bit better analysis of it. As, hey, I love analyzing things. Man, that is like my job.
Analytical. There you go.
Yeah.
There's your passion.
There's what?
There's one of your passions. You're analytical.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I analyze everything. I will analyze
everything. Have you ever taken a Myers-Briggs test?
No.
I think that would be a very good thing for you. Myers-Briggs is it's an evaluation, and it basically will tell you what your passions truly are without you even knowing completely what they are. It'll give you great direction and tell you what fields that you should focus on that will be good for you. You can get this, you can do this online, and you can do it at home. I think it's like $10, but it's called a Myers-Briggs test. You take it, and then you pay for the key, which is, I think, the $10. And it'll interpret it. It'll give you a 4-letter code. And these will be 4 fields and positions and everything. And absolutely highly recommend this for you because, to me, you're very focused, you're intelligent, and you're intuitive. And these are very big things and can be very useful if they're used in the right way. You just need to focus, and focus is such a big thing. I do a lot of public speaking nationwide, and that's one of the things that I tell young people is that, the hardest thing for you to do is focus on what's right for you. First, you have to find out what that is, and then really stay focused on it, because it'll make you more of a success in your future than you can even conceive.
Definitely. I feel you. Like, I have really, really strong focus. That is one of my biggest abilities, I guess, is I have a good determination and a good focus. But, like, sometimes I don't surround myself with the right things, and I focus too much on the wrong thing.
That's human nature. Recognizing is what's important. When you do that.
Exactly. And I'm working to figure out which is the best place for me to focus. That's why I call in so many times, like, to psychics and stuff, and I'll just get not so much outside opinions. Like, I would rather get an opinion from a psychic than I would, like, a close friend, you know, because, like, it's just, like, they know, and, like, my close friends, they already have some kind of biased opinion of me because of our past experiences together and all that. So I like to get that.
Most of the clients in your case like this, I tell them, you can take the advice of others regardless of their profession.
Mm-hmm.
But the only one that truly knows you is you. Mm-hmm. And that is the person that you must trust the most.
That's so ironic, because that's what my little conversation was about with God here. I was talking about how I was very much involved and obsessed with what other people thought about me, and especially all through high school. Well, not all through high school, but, like, the last few years, I moved my junior year. So I started junior year at a different school. And I was just so involved with what other people were thinking about me, you know, had to be popular and all that stuff. And that was my big focus. And so I wanted to figure out my gifts and being able to do that and get the recognition. And like I said, I just used it all up completely. And that's what I guess God was saying, was that, you know, I don't know why you're obsessed with everybody else's thoughts when your thoughts are the only true ones that matter for yourself.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
that's
you know
true.
What? Wow. And I just started laughing. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this is so funny.
I did a show last week with a paranormal group out of Texas, and, you know, we did the whole two-hour show and everything, and I said, the bottom line is that when science creeps over the wall of immortality, it's going to find religion sitting there all the time smiling, saying, what took you so long, you know, and you really kind of need to look at it that way.
Okay, I can definitely look at it. That brings a new perspective to it.
You know, it's all the collective information of the entire world and all the people in it would make but a grain of sand on the beach of time.
Whew, that's heavy.
Yeah, I know. I try and not get that heavy this early in the morning because people are just waking up, but unfortunately...
Right.
It's sort of the way my mind works, so I kind of got to back off a quad here and have some more coffee and kind of let people say, whoa, dude, back off, you know. Too many years in Southern California as a kid, you know.
Right. I wish. Oh, my gosh. I'll be there eventually. I guess I'm going to be in L.A. too at some point. Who knows? But, oh, my gosh, we already have 10 minutes left. So I did want to talk a little bit more about the lucid dreams and the lucid dream state.
Good idea.
And how to get into there. Now, I'm sure most of you have heard of those little tips and tricks. The two things that are very, very obvious, let's see, the time thing. When you're in a dream and if you wear a watch to bed, or just can find, if you're able to find some sort of time-telling device in your dream, take a look, notice what happens to it, and notice the numbers. It should come up, like, all distorted or blurry, or you'll just be unable to read it. I haven't personally been able to look at a watch of some sort in my dreams. I don't know why I can't find a watch. But I guess that helps a lot of other people. So use that kind of technique. Also, another one is flipping a light switch. That one is a very good one. If you walk into any room or anywhere, turn on the switch and see if it does something. Because usually electronics just don't work in dreams. I don't know why, but it's pretty weird. And then also another very good technique. And there's actually a really good video on YouTube. And it's whenever you walk into a door, actually just try walking into any doors, period. Because when you walk through a door, it's like a new surrounding. It like completely takes you. That's a very significant symbolism, is, you know, walking through a door, seeing that open door, you know. It's a very good way to bring yourself into a wake state in your dream. I'm going to look up this video, and it's a really good video. These guys made it, and they take you through a bunch of doors and visual doors, and I think they say something after each one of them. I'm going to share that with you guys. It's really wonderful. It's so good. But like I said, Waking Life, excellent, excellent movie to check out if you're really interested in lucid dreaming. It's such a cool, like, a dream. That's all. It's pretty much all a dream. And it takes you through this entire scheme of this one. I don't even know if he's a kid or not, but it's pretty cool. Definitely check that out. I'm looking this up right now. Do you have anything to add, Morgan, on lucid dreams and how to get there?
No, I think you pretty well nailed it. Crossing the doorway, the path of crossing over, so to speak, of cognitive to lucid dream state is physical, but it's metaphysical as well, and you have to allow, you know, it's an individual thing, and there's no real cookie cutter way. You have to find what works for you, and once you find that technique, you can reuse it as many times as you want, but find, you know, a lot of women talk about going through an arbor gate or crossing a small bridge or something along those lines. But find what works for you and allow it to take you where you want it to go.
There you go, exactly. There's another thing. There's a thing up on YouTube. Oh, man, I don't even know if you've heard that. But it is this really weird sound, and it's like a binaural beat kind of thing. And you just listen to it, and you focus your mind on it. Let's see. I'm going to put it up in the chat if anybody wants to take a look at this. And you sit there. It's like for 9 minutes, and it brings you into this really weird state of mind. And I am a big, big believer on sounds that put you into states of mind and different frequencies provoking different states and all that. So I really think binaural beats affect our minds and can definitely help induce a lucid dream state. If you're sitting here and listening to the sound and then, you know, you just pass out and fall asleep, I think that's what you're supposed to do. So if you have a good couple minutes, definitely check out that link that I posted. And I'll actually post it up on the page itself after the show if you guys want to check out some of the stuff. I'll just put it as a comment. And Morgan, if you would like to post a comment for a link for your book at the end of the show, that would be good too. So
no,
people can
certainly will
check out a little bit about you and your book and stuff like that. Because, I mean, I would have advertised it on the show, but I didn't know you're going to be here.
Yeah, you didn't see that, right?
Right, right. Oh, you've been doing HoloSync. Oh, it doesn't do anything for you? Okay. See, it just depends. I think that I tried out that Holosync too, and I'm pretty sure that's like a company itself, and that didn't work out.
I recommend White Noise, Ocean Sounds, and Forest Sounds.
Okay, yeah, definitely
White Noise. It's a TV system you can buy almost anywhere, and that works really, really well for a lot of people.
Definitely. They have that pink noise, too. I don't know if you heard of that
mm-hmm.
one.
Absolutely.
But I don't know what the difference is or if there's any better, if each is better. I think the white noise is a different state and the pink noise is totally different, too.
Well, they're different waves, different
right.
alpha and beta waves.
Okay, okay. Let's see. I'm trying to find this video, and it's so weird. It's like
Murphy's Law. You'll never find something you look for.
Right. I always find that.
And the moment you stop looking, you won't be able to get rid of it.
Let's see. Man, it's not in any of these. Let's see. Well, what it did is it went through and walked through a bunch of doorways.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, it said the weirdest thing. It was like, come on, I got to remember this. Every time it walked into a door, it said something like lucid dream, or it said awake or something, awake state or something like that. Man, I cannot remember.
If you build it, they will come.
Right, exactly. But it was just over and over, and every time they walked through a door, they repeated this word. And then I watched it as I was, like, falling asleep. And, man, I had some intense dreams that night. And, like, I was lucid for a little bit, but not all the way. Like, I wasn't in a complete lucid state. But it was definitely a good little trick. So, again, with the doorways, look through the doorways. Find some doors, open doors, walk through any door that you see. And even what you can do is do a little meditation and create your own door where it's labeled lucid state. And what you can do is work yourself up to it and then open the door and walk through it whenever you're ready. And that has definitely a good possibility to bring you into a deep lucid state. I think so. Do you have any experience with lucid dreams, Morgan?
A little, but mostly from case-related situation that I really can't go into on the air.
Right, right. I was just seeing if you had personal.
But yeah, there are some very good examples of where lucid dreaming has been used in medicine, law enforcement, science, a number of different professions where they use it. Some of the new game companies that are out there use this to help develop ideas and open the mind up for their game creators.
I would think so,
because it takes it to a whole other level.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, some of these games, I'll sit there and play a game, like, on Xbox, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this stuff is so crazy. Like, how would they even think of this? And it really, it's almost like a dream in itself. Like,
there you go.
Playing some of these games. It really is. Like, it's really giving you a dream of someone else. And, I mean, it all starts out that way, right? Like, it starts out as a dream, and
everything starts out as a dream.
Exactly.
Creation starts as ideas, which start as impulses.
Yep, exactly. You have thought, word, and action.
Follow the bunny trail.
See, and that makes me bring us to another point as we have 1 minute left. Life
Uh-oh.
Is but a dream. I know, it went by so fast.
Well, great conversations are like that. When you're having a good time talking to somebody, the time just flies by.
When I lose all sense of time. Love that song.
And we
definitely
sort of checked out without the luggage there.
Well, Morgan, well, thank you for coming on today. It was
I enjoyed talking with you. It was good.
Thank you. And hopefully you'll come back again. We'll be here every Monday morning.
Well, now that I know where you are, I'll come and see
you. Good deal. All right. Well, thank you very much, and have an amazing morning and rest of the day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Talk to you later. All right. That was a nice little surprise. I'm glad that I could have a psychologist and another dream interpreter up here. So hopefully he'll be back helping interpret your dreams. Again, thank you all for coming out this morning. It's been a wonderful Monday morning. And I am going to go inside and warm up. It's a little bit cold out here up in Cleveland. So I'm going to enjoy probably some lucid states of my own here in a little bit. And maybe we will find ourselves lucidly connecting. Who knows? Again, thank you all for tuning in this Monday morning. And I hope you all had amazingly sweet dreams and that we will have way more to talk about in the future. Remember, life is but a dream, everyone. Love and light.